The Watson Weekly Podcast is sponsored by Rithm. Costs are up, customers are unpredictable, and AI is moving at warp speed. But Rithm's new survey says the real threat isn't tariffs or inflation, it's your own internal drag. Slow processes and messy data are holding brands back. Be sure to check out Rithm's 2026 Commerce Readiness Index, which is live on its website and went live last week. It's September 29th, 2025. And this is the Watson Weekly, your essential e-commerce digest. Today on our show, what the hell is going to happen to TikTok? Ryder releases new e-commerce study. Klaviyo innovations made possible by different ecosystem approach. And OpenAI announces they're pursuing ads. And finally, the Investor Minute, which contains five items this week from the world of venture capital, acquisitions, and IPOs. But first, in our shopping cart full of news, what the hell's going to happen at TikTok? If there's one lesson to learn in life, when there's so much money to be made by keeping something alive and many people depending on it, such things simply do not disappear. We may not know ultimately what form new ownership will take, even despite last week's executive order from President Trump. We still don't know who's exactly going to be in charge. Heck, we don't even know if anything might not ultimately change. It could stay exactly like it is. What do we know? Ultimately, any thoughts about TikTok ever simply disappearing were always kind of silly. And this seems like the biggest obvious comment in some time. It's a great channel. Keep using it. Not going anywhere for a while. Of course, there are now new fears about how the ad algorithm will work under the new structure. What is so unique about TikTok? Do ultimately people think it's like the only Chinese company operating in the United States? Why is there a law against one company? The only thing I can figure that's different about TikTok now is how much Sundar and Mark Zuckerberg have been lobbying, and if anything does end up crippling TikTok, it would need to follow a path that looks something like U.S. companies like Meta and Google convince the administration that, we got this, advertisers and users will just switch over tomorrow, the administration might just agree and go forward with major changes, and the app might ultimately get crippled either because TikTok loses its algorithmic or data and targeting advantage. This path still feels somewhat unlikely to me, and if any change is made, lawsuits would then, of course, happen almost immediately, likely forcing some semblance of the status quo until more pounds of flesh are extracted. This still feels like negotiation, and any scenarios are just trial balloons to extract more money and resources from China. Everyone take another deep breath and settle in. This could be a while. Even with the new executive order, it still needs to be approved by China, and there's so much still to sort out. Our second story. Ryder's comprehensive e-commerce study contains a few must-reads. I was perusing Ryder's e-commerce consumer study and found a few nuggets that stood out to me from the comprehensive look offered. First, 71% of shoppers reported using buy online, pick up in store to avoid shipping fees, which is 8% more than last year. Almost 60% of shoppers won't make a purchase without a free return policy. 62% of online shoppers use loyalty rewards points more during the holiday season than during the rest of the year, which is 12% more who said this than the previous year. And of course, this is a reconfirmation of what we know and love, which is free is still the most powerful word in the English language. 76% of shoppers said free shipping plays the biggest role in deciding where they purchase. These stats and more can help frame investment, validate thinking, and challenge assumptions out there. Check out the link of the report in the show notes. Our third story. Klaviyo innovations ultimately made possible by different ecosystem approach. I spent some time last week in Boston around their KBOS event hearing from the Klaviyo team. Most of this discussion is for a future pod, but today I wanted to speak a little bit about the relationship between Shopify and Klaviyo and how rare this kind of strategy is. It goes without saying that Toby Lütke, the CEO of Shopify, is a different kind of cat, in kind of the best way possible. And that this view of investment and acquisitions is one of the drivers behind this. And while I've never had a personal conversation with them, I kind of make it my job to study how people think. I've spoken before here about how Shopify tends to acquire little companies and invest in bigger companies, but not outright acquire many bigger companies, either for good or bad. Personally, I think that comes straight from Toby, and maybe from Kaz and Harley too. We can kind of put them in the same bucket for now. Watching the history of companies like SAP, Oracle, and Salesforce in e-commerce and saying, why have none of these structures really worked in the long term? Why did innovation often stop these companies post-acquisition of any of their subsidiaries? Most often, it's actually a culture and a talent thing. Bigger companies tend not to integrate products, and the new acquisition tends to get ignored. Most often, because of a couple of reasons. First, the promise of synergies and more investment is often corporate speak for can't wait to get my earnout and leave this hellhole. The new product also often costs much less than whatever primary product is being offered, so sales representatives at the company don't actually make any more by selling the new acquisition, so they never bother to do it. All this to say, in another time and in another era, Klaviyo and likely several others would either be a wholly owned subsidiary of Shopify or simply called Shopify Email and would have stopped there to slowly decay and die, leaving the Klaviyo founders off to do something new and interesting. In other words, the enshittification of Shopify would not happen under Toby Lütke's watch. Shopify, even when investing in companies, tends to leave well enough alone primarily. You can witness Klaviyo partnering with companies like WooCommerce and expanding into industries like restaurant, hospitality, and health and wellness, and even not devoting much time to B2B despite Shopify's noises in this arena. But back to Toby. With him, I actually don't think it's about the money. Likely, he could have made more owning it, I would probably wager. I tend to think it's more about his positive sum mindset of producing the most innovation over the longest period of time, even if the piece he owns is less in the long term. It produces a larger good in the long term as a result. And our last story. OpenAI announces they're pursuing ads. Recent articles out there openly state that OpenAI is looking for a head of ads. Seriously, if you've been listening to this program for any length of time, this is something that is always gonna happen. Like they said in the movie Fight Club, I am Jack's complete lack of surprise. Here's what I'm gonna say about this. There are only a few ways for very, very large companies to make money ultimately. Sell products, sell subscriptions, or sell ads. Selling products over and over tends to be difficult and tiresome. Software as a service turned selling software into subscriptions, and OpenAI is already one of the most successful subscription software companies in the world, even though most people are actually saying that LLMs will kill SaaS. I actually tend to think the opposite. LLMs will instead explode SaaS. But what's going on, and any large-scale internet company that's ever tried to compete with an ad-based model without developing their own ad-based model has ultimately failed. One of the more recent examples in history was Netflix, which famously resisted a free ad tier, or nearly free ad tier, for years. Even Amazon itself resisted ads for years before succumbing to the model. Other LLM companies like Microsoft, Copilot, and Perplexity had previously been experimenting with different ad models, so we know it was only a matter of time before OpenAI went there. Another huge clue was that OpenAI CEO of applications, Fiji Simo, formerly of Instacart and Facebook, two extremely successful ad platforms. Can I say this though? LLMs are not working on superintelligence. Can we please just stop talking about this? It goes without saying that I think any kind of global superintelligence is not going to be produced by someone who makes primarily money from ads. Not real superintelligence, anyway. Can we please be honest with each other? While AI is going to transform our lives, at the end of the day, what it's going to do even more than this is find new ways to deliver us more ads more often. because once the enshittification begins, it rarely ends. It's that time, friends, for our Investor Minute. We have 5 items on the menu today. First, Context with a K raises $10 million in funding for ads and AI chatbots. Context, a contextual ad platform that has emerged from stealth with $10 million in seed funding, will be used to hire engineering talent and for product development. Ads for chatbots? Who would have thought? Second, IWS acquires Mid-America Distribution. Convenience store merchandise distributor International Wholesale Supply, a division of MMCI Holdings, has acquired the direct-to-store delivery division of convenience store supplier Mid-America Distribution. Financial terms were not disclosed. Third, Lyric raises $43.5 million Series B to transform supply chain decision-making with AI. Lyric, a supply chain decision-making platform, has announced that it's raised $43.5 million in Series B funding, which will be invested in product development, customer success, onboarding, and community programs. Fourth, Bain considers late 2025 IPO of Bob's Discount Furniture. Bain Capital is considering an initial public offering of Bob's Discount Furniture, which it acquired in 2014. The retailer generated $2 billion in sales and about $200 million in earnings before interest, tax, depreciation, and amortization. And finally, pricing platform DealOps raises $7 million in seed and pre-seed funding. Pricing and quoting platform for revenue operations and sales team, DealOps, has raised $7 million in pre-seed and seed funding, which will be used to hire talent and further product development. Did you know that RMW Commerce has another podcast? Check out the Watson Weekend for an unfiltered and lively e-commerce chat each week with me, Rick Watson, my co-host Jess Lisesky, and an array of interesting guests and topics, all focused on e-commerce. You can find the Watson Weekend by searching for it on iTunes, Spotify, or YouTube. That's all for this week. Till next time, Watsonians. Hi, I'm Rick Watson, CEO and founder of RMW Commerce Consulting and host of the Watson Weekly Podcast, your essential e-commerce digest. To hear new episodes of the show every Monday morning, subscribe now at rmwcommerce.com/Watson Weekly and wherever you get your podcasts.